any man do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God and whether I speak of myself. Job 7:17. I have said many times in these lectures to go up the brakes and God will do the work. By following out the technique explained in these lessons, you will take off the brakes and you will see for yourselves what can be done. For you will see the will of God being done in you. That is when we take off the brakes. The reason is this. Life is always endeavoring to express itself in its own perfection. It's we ourselves that put on the brakes, preventing life from doing our very best for us by our anxiety, by our reactions to things external to ourselves. Consequently, we put on the brakes. When we take off the brakes, we find that the whole organism responds to nature and returns to normality. It is man himself who puts on the brakes. And it is man himself who must take them off. God does not do that for you, but when you do take off the brakes, then you will see what God will do for you. This is the attitude of mind you must have when doing these relaxation exercises, and you will prove to yourself that my words are true. Just going to those relaxation exercises and just relaxing, you do not get the best. What you have to do is the attitude of mind you take while doing it. And if you can see clearly and distinctly that life itself is perfect in itself, it's free and natural, and there's no conditions attached to it whatsoever, it built the body for its own self-expression, and that life is you. In life there is consciousness and intelligence. Consciousness, the directing power, intelligence, that which fulfills the direction of the consciousness. If you are continually consciously aware of fear, of conditions that are preventing your perfect health, anxiety brought about by reactions to things external to the self, then you will see that you put on the brakes. But immediately you take the attitude of mind that you're taking off the brakes and you realize what life can do for you, and the organism will respond. It is perfectly true. Often it has been found that when a person is told they have only a certain time to live, they wake up to the fact that they have never seen anything in their life. Well, if I only got 6 months to live, I'm going to live that 6 months. So they begin to book a trip around the world, want to see something in the last 6 months. 6 months gone, they're still alive. They're better than they've ever been before in their lives. They've forgotten all about the trouble. They've accepted it and said, well, if I'm going to die in 6 months' time, I'm going to have a good time before that. So, we have a good time. And what happens? At the end of the 6 months, they're better than they ever were before, and they wake up to the fact that it's true. Why? Because they've taken off the brakes. Nature has done the work. With this understanding and the technique properly applied, life will continue to grow more abundant. Not only will your mental and bodily health increase, but also will your material possessions. All these are but the outward expression of your well-ordered mind through divine reasoning and relaxation, and life will become a blessing to you. Divine reasoning and relaxation. You cannot separate one from the other. Relaxation without divine reasoning is like a ship without the helm. Divine reasoning leads you out of your difficulties, clears the mind, and makes a path so that life can clear away the devils. We have clearly seen that emotional habit patterns set up a disturbance in the cerebellum which may attack any part of the body. Fear adds coal to the fire because you do not understand what is taking place. Thus a vicious circle is created. When there is a disturbance in the cerebellum, this disturbance may attack any particular part of the body. In the first place, tension is the cause of it, anxiety. A mental state is transferred to the body. The body accepts this mental state and talks back to the brain. Now, when you talk back to the brain, what happens? The cerebellum then begins to accept the state that's caused in the body. And that is the cause of most of the trouble. That's transferred back again to the body, and you have the vicious circle. Now your mind takes it up through fear, and you increase the intensity of it. There are many amateur advisors who tell you what you should do, what to take, etc. They are more ignorant than yourself of the cause of your trouble. Therefore, follow my instructions and you will soon see the way out of the forest into the clear again. I've known amateur advisors, a person will come along, you know, you take this and you take that. And you begin taking this and taking that, and then you become sick. That is wrong, because they do not know what your trouble is. You don't know the cause of it. But there is a safe and sure way of getting out of your trouble, and it is this way. I've had 40 years experience among the people, and in 40 years I think I have seen nearly every disease in the world. I've seen the most difficult cases, all the incurables have passed through my hands. That 40 years experience has given me a method, and apply that method, enable you to overcome your difficulties. And you follow it out, and you'll find how true it is. The first step in scientific relaxation is to have a couch, soft yet firm to lie upon. Take off all tight clothes, lie down, place one pillow under your head, pull the ends forward so that it tucks well under the neck. Place the other pillow under your knees, this takes a strain pulled from the leg muscles. Spread your legs to a 30 degree so that the outside of the calves take the weight. Lay your arms by your side, hands resting on your groin or over your stomach, whatever suits best. Relax your lower jaw, close your lips, breathe through your nose and close your eyes. Now take the tension off your legs and arms. Repeat. Legs relax, arms relax. Talk to your arms and legs. They will send messages to your cerebellum, which will then begin to let go of the habit pattern. after you have relaxed your legs and arms, repeat 60 times, divine peace fills me. There is a mechanism created perfect within you and will soon begin work properly. I'm telling you of the most wonderful thing that can happen to you by this method. If you have not tried what I've told you, try it out now. This is a summary of the whole thing. I want you to see it clearly. Now, when you relax the way I've told you, and you begin to say to your limbs, relax, relax, you'll feel them relaxing. It is a message that's sent to the limbs, the muscles of the limbs let go of the tension. A reflex action is then carried back to the brain. Relaxation takes place in the brain, but continues backwards and forwards and until the whole of your body is relaxed. Tension has disappeared, and with the tension disappearing, so does the habit patterns. It is very simple and clear. Divine peace fills me. There is a mechanism created perfect within you, and it will soon begin to work properly. Life takes up the work. When you relax your arms and legs, the rest of the body relaxes more easily. You have taken the first step to break up the habit pattern, and as each successive step is taken, natural forces will begin to work through your brain and body, and your mind will begin to clear as it becomes freed from a chain of negative thought feelings. While the cerebellum sends messages out to the blood vessels, intestines, stomach, lungs, kidneys, etc., releasing the tensions created there. What a wonderful thing it is to think that immediately you set in motion this whole perfect system, the remainder of your body begins to relax. And through your brain and body, your mind will begin to clear as it becomes free from a chain of negative thought feelings. Those negative thought feelings that are sent to your brain from your body. Then the cerebellum naturally sends messages out to the blood vessels to release the tension. You lose your high blood pressure. And your intestines lose their griping sensations. The mucus colitis begins to disappear. Your lungs begin to clear and the muscles of your chest are freed. The kidneys are no longer stagnant, but freed also. Tensions begin to leave the body and the organs. Relaxation is the finest form of suggestion. Strong and violent suggestions should be avoided, as they often produce the opposite. Because when you bring up an idea of health or something, what happens to you then? Up pops the idea of ill health. And the more you try to hang on to the idea of health, the more the idea of ill health tries to combat it. Relaxation, then, is a smooth way of overcoming this, what we call, reverse effort. The reverse effort you get through what we call strong and violent suggestions. In the second step, the muscles of the chest are relaxed through breathing. Get the idea of the proper relaxed breath. Place your tongue on the roof of your mouth and turn it back into the throat. This causes the throat and bronchial tubes to open and you breathe behind the nose. Read what I have said about this important exercise in Lesson 2. Before you can know how to breathe properly, you must feel the opening of the channels here, behind the face. You must feel the opening of the tubes leading into the lungs. And you can only do that by putting the tongue to the roof of your mouth and turning it back into your throat. As you do that, you're forced to breathe high up through those channels here behind the nose, from the top of the nose. And it causes the bronchial tubes to open, and you breathe easily. After you find the proper way to breathe, bring your tongue back again and lay it on the floor of your mouth, relaxed, easily. Then continue to breathe with these tubes open. You'll find that the breaths will begin in the abdomen. The abdomen will extend and the rest of the chest will rise, extend naturally. Now breathe easily, allowing the abdomen to extend naturally, then the chest expands automatically. As you exhale, quietly say to your chest muscles, relax, relax. Say to yourself, breath is life. I am the Father of One. This must not be said as an affirmation, but with understanding of what it means. For divine reasoning is the twin pillar with relaxation. So as your chest muscles begin to relax, all the tension disappears. I had a woman today for the first time. She could not walk more than a few yards when she was completely out of breath and had to stop. When I examined her, I found that all these muscles here were tight. The diaphragm wasn't moving, and instead of breathing properly, she was raising up her chest to try and get a breath. Consequently, this muscular action was closing in the chest instead of allowing it to expand. And the most marvelous thing was this. Immediately I relaxed the muscles of my fingers. I showed her how to breathe, and as she breathed naturally, she breathed well. All the old tightness had passed away. And there, all of a sudden, at once, this woman could breathe and walk without any difficulty. The heart was jammed because these muscles were tight and compressed. So it is no use unless you understand the mechanism, and I am showing you this mechanism. That will take place. It will actually do its work. We do not escape by affirming or denying. Only the truth will set us free. Our conscious reasoning is carried to the subconscious and helps us to break up the habit patterns created in the mind and body. Affirmations are but a form of self-hypnosis, and you are already suffering from this through your habit patterns. So why add to them by affirmation? If you do not understand the meaning of an affirmation, do not understand the mechanism that takes place, the mechanism that works, then how are you going to get rid of your trouble? And the more affirmations you make, the more difficult it is for you to overcome your trouble. About a week ago, man came to me and he said, I'm simply getting worse and worse. Yet, he said, I make all these affirmations. So I said to him, now if you stop making those affirmations, you'll get well. So I explained to him what he was doing. I said, do you understand what's happening to you when you say these affirmations? I said, don't you feel that when you say these affirmations that the very opposite rises up in its place? He said, yes, that's true. Well, don't you see, you're intensifying your trouble. So after he saw the whole thing, he knew perfectly well he was on the wrong track. Yet there are stupid people who begin to tell you that these affirmations are the best thing you can do. And you start early in the morning, and you finish up before you go to sleep at night. And all your mind is filled with these affirmations. An affirmation for 10 o'clock, an affirmation for 11, an affirmation for 12, and for 1, and for 2, and for 3. Don't you see that it's understanding you need, and not affirmations? So we do not escape by affirming or denying, only the truth will set us free. Our conscious reasoning is carried to the subconscious and helps us to break up the habit patterns created in the mind and body. Affirmations are but a form of self-hypnosis, and you are already suffering from this through your habit patterns. The third step is to release these conflicts in the mind through free association. You repeat to yourself whatever comes into your mind, letting one word or event suggest another. You must not inhibit your thoughts by comparisons of right or wrong, nor must you analyze them at present. The exercise is to free the mind of all suppressed thoughts, good or bad, by quietly and impersonally discerning them as they flow out. You will discern what is in your mind. Immediately you begin to say right or wrong, then you stop the flow. There is no longer any what we call free association. You have to look at these things as you would view a picture screen with all pictures passing along. Then you know what is in your mind. You release the pressure of these things. The things you have suppressed, the things you have feared, will rise to the surface. Do not stop them by becoming emotional about them, but allow them to flow out and you will find they will free you from conflicts. For instance, if a swear word rises, don't be afraid to let it out. It won't hurt you. You have suppressed it long enough and is doing you more harm in that condition than when you let it out. Jesus said, in other words, it's what you hold in your mind that counts. So I have found those people who believe in ethics, who are subject all their lives to ethics, who have been suppressed in their infancy through fear. These suppressed ideas cause all the trouble, and when you free them, you'll find those inhibitions that dog you all your lives will disappear. These things are relative things. They cannot harm the spirit. The spirit is perfect and cannot be affected by anything. Nothing can destroy the spirit that which is analyzing. So you must realize this. You must realize the perfect which is itself, untarnished, indestructible, and free, watching all these relative things as they pass along. The things you thought were evil, the things you thought were good, these are our relative things, and that is the relative world that you are looking at. You're looking at your relative thoughts. If you become afraid of a thought, if that thought gives you a sensation of fear, then you are caught up in the thought, and you're no longer free. But if you, knowing yourselves to be mind, the reality itself, knowing yourself to be the reality itself, not that you can know what that reality is because you cannot define your consciousness. You cannot define that which is reality within you. You cannot define that which is analyzed. Nor can you analyze that which is analyzing. But you can analyze all that is relative, and you can see all that is relative. Then you will separate yourself from it, and you will find freedom. But if you're caught up in the relative, then you are caught up there, and you are bound. It's the same old story over and over again. I'm putting to you in simple words that you could never read in any books on psychoanalysis. To a great extent, psychoanalysis does not free you. It only makes you worse sometimes by looking at the things that you're afraid of. Without knowing that these things are relative, without knowing that you yourselves are real, therefore have no power over you, then you let them pass. As a flock of birds flew across the windless sky, leaving no trace. What must be done is to view your mental mic up as you would look impersonally upon a film on the screen. You tell on yourself, don't be afraid of the things you did or did not do or should have done. It is the suppression of these that cause habit patterns. Then free them by consciously looking at them, free from comparisons. It is in this way you overcome your suppressions and repressions. Read lesson 3 again, and gain a fuller understanding of this most vital part of the technique. A change in your mental attitude will cause a change in your physical health. It is the Christ in you that knows error from truth, and knows how to separate one from the other. Christ in you is the wisdom of God, and is able to see clearly that error is not of God, but the creation of man's own mind. Therefore you are able to dispose of it by looking at it boldly, knowing that it has no power of its own. The only power it has, you give it by fearing it, by suppressing or repressing it. How true those words are. And if Jesus was here again, he would say, resist not evil, it has no power over you. Immediately you resist it, it has power, know it for what it takes. The fourth step is to relax the muscles of the back. This step is a very important one when we realize how our back muscles cover the ganglionic mass of nerve tissue which run down each side of the spine. From these numerous fibers, branches lead out to the organs of the body and blood vessels. When the back muscles are tense, the press on these nerves and inhibit the flow of the life force. This prevents the proper function of the organs. In many cases, these muscles become so tense as to create fibrositis, sciatica, and cramp in the legs. This is also the result of tense back muscles. Yes, a lady came to me today. She'd been away in Durban for 6 months or more. When she came to me, she was over like this, down on one side, and with pain. I showed her exactly what was wrong. I said, "Now, don't you see, I'll show you. These muscles on this side are contracting. They're pulling you down on one side, and they're twisting your spine. What I've got to do is to relax all those muscles in your back so that the muscles become relaxed, and you will find that you will walk straight." So I started working from the muscles from the top of the neck down and down and down until I released all the tension on the muscles on that side. At first they were as hard as this table, and shortly they become quite soft. I said, "Now relax. Say to your own back muscles, relax, relax." When she got up, she had no pain, and she was as straight as you or me. What would happen the ordinary way with this? You would get an injection for that, and that would make you worse. Then you put you in a rack and try and pull you up. That would make you worse still. They give you electrical treatment. That would cause the muscle spasm to become stronger. And you would still be worse still. Good God, I say, where has all the common sense gone to in this world? I don't know, but it has gone. Common sense was nothing more but to release the tension of that muscle. To take the tension off and release the strain on the spine. And in a few minutes it was done. She'd been all over the place, here and there and everywhere else, having all this done to her. And she only escaped by the hairbreadth of going into the hospital and having an operation. I do not know, I say, where the common sense has disappeared. Everything has become too scientific as far as people's bodies are concerned. We've invented too many drugs for this and that, and they're injected into people and we do not even know the constituents of the drug. We do not know anything at all about it. We read a book and they say such and such is the cause, this drug will do for that. That's the injection for this. And who's making the money out of it? Those big drug companies who are wealthy and making millions of pounds. And if a drug, it costs probably a halfpenny to procure, but it costs you about £2.10 to get. This system will release you of all those conditions freely because it allowed life to do the work. Take off the brakes and God will do the work. Relaxing the back muscles require practice. You can't do it just on one trial. And if you think that you have mastered it with one trial, and if you haven't mastered it with one trial, you give it up, I say, well, you're stupid. The fact is this, the relaxing of the muscles of the back requires continuous practice. You must talk to your back muscles. as you do to your legs and arms and feel the tension leaving. Relaxation of the back muscles readily break up habit patterns which affect the viscera, all the organs in the stomach. These muscles are easily taught through verbalization, talking quietly to them, inciting them to relax. When you're lying in that relaxed state, you say, quietly. You don't try to relax. The more you try to relax, the more tension you create. You create the reverse effort. Lie quietly. Relax. Now let me see how easy it is to make you relax. For instance, you're sitting there now. I'll say to you now, limbs, relax. 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 Arms, relax. Relax. Back, relax. Relax. Don't you feel your whole body relaxing? Almost going to sleep, exactly. It would be exactly the same. There it is, simple and easy. You do exactly to yourself as I did to you at this moment. There's nothing in it. It's simple, it's real, it's common sense, it's scientific. The most scientific thing that you have ever known in your lives. The fifth step is to learn to relax during sleep. This will do more to regain your health than all the medicines in the world. Read lesson 5 carefully, as there's a lot of useful information about sleep and how to obtain that natural health-giving remedy. Be sure that your neck muscles are relaxed, for tension here prevents proper health-giving sleep and also inhibits regeneration of the organs of the viscera. The important nerves, the pneumogastric or phrenic nerve, which leads into the thoracic and abdominal area, pass under the neck muscles. Therefore, you can realize how important it is to relax the neck muscles before you go to sleep at night. The main thing to watch is that the neck does not make a bridge between the head and the shoulders, causing unconscious tension. The neck must be snug, as shown in step 1. Move your head slowly and easily from side to side, telling your neck muscles to let go, let go, let go. When you find your body in relaxation, then turn your mind over to the universe. Engage in a few minutes divine reasoning. Then pass off to sleep, repeating, relax all . What a wonderful thing it is to engage in divine reasoning before you sleep. The last thoughts before you sleep are the ruling thoughts through the whole of the night. You'll disperse with all dreams. Some people have nightmares. You can disperse with all these by doing this easy, natural thing. The sixth step is to get a clear view of how to free the mind. A free mind is one in which there is no opposites, no divisions, no separation, no bias, no prejudices, no antagonisms. Now, I ask you, is your mind free? Can you say now that there is no opposites in your mind, no division, no separation, no bias, no prejudices, no antagonisms? Then when you discern these things in your mind, you will know whether you are free or not. Begin to get rid of them as soon as you possibly can. The mind must be pliable to be free. When ideas become fixed in a rigid mind, that mind is truly ignorant. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 and 9, love never disappears, for as prophesying, it will be superseded. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will be superseded. For we only know bit by bit. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will be superseded. It will disappear. You don't destroy the imperfect because there's no such thing. You can't destroy something that does not exist. It only exists in your own mind. Therefore, it just fades away as an error disappears in a sum. When it is corrected. To say that the eye is the window of the soul, when it is tense, so is the eye tense, and the body follows suit. To relax the eye muscles, you must relax the mind and body. There are six muscles that turn the eye from side to side and up and down, and there are other finer muscles which contract or expand the iris. The majority of people seldom use the eye muscles properly. They either stare, making the muscle rigid, or fail to move them when they are looking from side to side or up or down. They turn the head instead. I know very well how to deal with eyes, because I have gone through that process myself. A very difficult process in my life. And I searched and searched and searched before I found the way to relax the muscles of the eye. And when you think I've just got one eye, and do all the work I do, and that eye was injured badly, the sight almost destroyed, and yet I can relax those muscles of the eye and begin to read. And though the oculist says to me, you must read with glasses, I say, no, I can read without glasses. And I find this, that if I relax the muscles of my eyes, the sight comes back, the tension disappears. I'm not going to say that I'm always successful in getting perfect relaxation of the eye, because it is a most difficult thing. But practice makes you perfect. The best way to relax the eyes is to sit at a table with the elbows on a cushion, the palms of the hands over the eyes, and feel as if the eyes are falling into the palm of your hands. This must be done while the body is also relaxed. Great strain is put on the eye muscles when you try to read too much at one time. Macular vision exercise is the way to counteract this. Take each letter in a word and move the eye over it, up and down, in and out. The focus must move round the smallest point. Then read each word separately. Cue your eye strain by using your eyes properly. Read lesson 6 about eye exercises. The seventh step is to see how we can regain our health by relaxing at work and play. If you are in an office, don't twist your legs round your chair or sit in an awkward position. find the easiest and most relaxed way to sit. If writing, hold your pen lightly and the muscles of your arm easy. Some people write with the hand cramped up and the muscles of the arm so tense that they get writer's cramp. Writer's cramp is nothing more than the tightening of the hand when writing. Tenseness of the mind transferred to the tenseness of the hand when writing something. If a person says, I'll write this fellow a letter, so he gets his mind down to it and he begins to write. What's happened to his hand while he's doing it? What's happened to his arm? He's creating a habit pattern. Relax the theater, the football game, etc. Take tension off, learn to see with your mind and not with your neck muscles, your back muscles, your eye muscles, your chest muscles. You're wasting energy and creating tension. Relax when you have difficulties at work or play. Your brain will work better and you will know better what to do. If you have a difficult problem, relax. I know a man, one of very big businessmen in Johannesburg. He comes regularly for his relaxation every week. And he's taught himself this. Immediately he finds a very difficult problem, he leaves it alone, he has a couch there, and he lies down for a minute, and he relaxes completely. He comes up, deals with the problem, and it is finished in no time. I know another person who's the chairman of a big organization, and in the way he works, he doesn't allow decisions to carry over to the next meeting. He's all the details ready, all explanations ready, and he puts them forward, and the discussions are led into a decision, not away from decisions. It's very galling to an individual who knows to find one meeting after another coming along without any decisions taken. The time is wasted. If the chairman knows exactly what he's doing, what happens? He directs the minds of his directors along a particular line which he knows is right. He gets decisions straight away. It's not a live over to the next meeting, and then he gets on with the next. And in the whole period, the whole thing is clear and business goes on. The most wonderful thing in the world is to know to get decision. Decision must come through intelligent thinking. I'm of an organization, this is a Scotch organization. I find them when we start meeting. They get off into some subject that is entirely out of the line of action altogether. And I say now, to the chap who starts this argument, don't bother about that thing just now. We haven't got time to finish what we have here. Leave that till some other time, and we will deal with it. And immediately they shut up. There's no longer any talk about it. So we get on with one item after another. And I know this, that if I allowed them to grumble on, those Scotch fellows, they would have an argument all night through, and nobody would be able to have any work at all. Therefore, the thing is, make decision. Know what your decision is going to be, and direct the others towards it. See that you're right. If you know that you're right, look into your mind now and see what thought you have in regard to it. We had a course in Johannesburg, what we call voice personality. The people didn't really know the benefit they were going to get from this course. They weren't really interested in voice personality, but it's the greatest course in the world. When I was in America, I give that course about voice personality. And you know, we're over 1,000 people at that course in America. And they wanted more and more. They were keen how to express themselves. Voice personality is a wonderful thing. Relaxing the scalp, face muscles is also detailed in lesson 7. It's very important in relieving headaches. The great occipital nerve, that's adrenal nerves, and the supraorbital nerve, these come out from the skull and spread over the cranium, are often pressed by tight scalp and facial muscles. Read what I have said in lesson 7 about the way to clear up these troubles. In the 8th step, we learn how to create more lactic acid to counteract the acids created by emotional habit patterns. Here is the exercise that will do this and more. It is called relaxed tension exercise. You read about it then in lesson 8, what I have told you about this wonderful exercise, relaxed tension. This simple exercise has tremendous effect. It will charge you with vitality, mentally and physically. Your brain will clear and your pains will disappear. You virtually squeeze the poisons out of the tissue at the same time you create lactic acid to heal the nerves. The 9th step is to see how to soothe the nerves, thus inducing perfect relaxation, which breaks up these habit patterns that cause all our troubles. And the pleasant external action has the effect of soothing and stimulating the mind.